Bryce Kavanagh has a almost unparalleled resume when it comes to his role as head of athletic performance at sporting clubs, because given the range of sports close to Australians' hearts and top-level teams that he's worked with, you'd have to say that, read the resume, hire the man. Bryce is currently with the Melbourne Rebels. He's worked with the Waratahs, the Sydney Swans and the West Indian cricket team prior to the Rebels, and they're only the plucked few. The Rebels had a great win on Saturday night, and almost to test Bryce's capabilities as a conditioner, every Rebels game this season goes to the very last minute at least. Good evening, Bryce.
Good evening, guys. How are you going?
Very well. Is it fair to say
you should get an audio file of that, Bryce, and put it on you? You're like, when people want you for a gig, just send them that audio file. You won't have to send them anything else.
Yeah, video and audio resumes of the future, aren't they?
That's it.
Yeah, make it somebody's ringtone. Not your own. That would seem a little self-serving. But am I right in saying that as a conditioning coach, you would just be thinking, is there going to be a game with the Rebels where the boys can maybe just gear down a little bit towards the end of the match, a la the Fremantle Dockers?
This is crazy. I've been speaking to all the other coaching staff, and we dream of a game with 20 minutes to go that we can actually relax.
Yeah.
So, we haven't had that yet, and I'm definitely catching up with a few people with a few grey hairs. They don't make it easy for us.
That's great for the fans, and it's also, most importantly for yourself and your team, a testament to where you're taking these boys, because it exacts so much from the body, does rugby.
Mm.
And some games have been won at the end, some games have been lost at the end, but we're getting to the end of these games in good condition. Are you happy with how the boys are tracking physically?
Yeah, definitely. Like, obviously that's... you know, that's the expression of what we do in the background. And when we go to those games, like on the weekend, and we're able to hold out with only a point lead for the last 20 minutes, you know, that's very satisfying to us and the performance team. That's the true test of what we do. So it's fantastic. I mean, lucky we've got a good bunch of blokes that are willing to work hard for us. And we just lay the work out on the table. And these guys are great. They've been eating it up.
Now, Bryce, as Finey said in the world's best introduction, you come from a diverse background working with a wide range of athletes. And we know that, you know, fitness means different things to different athletes. So working with elite level cricketers, I think, would be a very big departure to head over to working with rugby union players. What are some of the challenges unique to rugby union for you as a somebody who prepares them for their sport?
Yeah, I suppose, like, rugby's where I started. I started rugby, I played rugby growing up in Sydney, and that's where I feel most comfortable. I think I'm lucky to have sort of lived outside the box or been able to go outside of rugby and look at different sports. And I found myself the whole time while I was out there, and was whenever something new came along, you're always thinking, oh, how would that apply to rugby?
Yep, so, yep.
You know, I've sort of done full circle, gone from rugby to rugby, and... Yep. And I bring a lot of the stuff I learned from AFL, from cricket and all that sort of stuff back. And I think I'm lucky enough to come back with a slightly different view on things. I think, you know, rugby's it's a unique sport. We play, you know, 36 minutes. The ball is on average is the time the ball's in play of an 80-minute game. And if you said that to anyone in AFL, they'd go, well, why do you come off exhausted? But, you know, the nature of the game, the power elements, the static exertions that come from things like rucks, mauls, scrums and all that sort of stuff, and the clusters of those is the thing that I enjoy working with from a conditioning perspective. And it's a real challenge. It's quite a eclectic game. You've got everything from your running-based stuff to your strength-based stuff. And, in the one package, and 15 guys that are all different shapes and sizes as well and have all different roles.
I come from a background of working with AFL and basketball and netballers and a few Olympians in terms of, you know, different sports, but never worked in the rugby space. When I watch the game, you know, apart from their skill and athleticism and all those great things, I look at the amount of impact that they need to absorb and the hits that they give out and the hits that they take. Is there anything that you, other than having lots of muscle on them, is there anything in the conditioning program to work around that aspect of the game?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I sort of use the term, or well, not the term, but I talk about all the elements in our game that are the game breakers. So those things that either win or lose your game are all strength and power-based elements.
Yeah, yeah.
And the conditioning stuff just allows you to do them more often.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the way we look at it. So a lot of our stuff, we try and use that. We go from the weights room and all those traditional sort of modalities of strength and conditioning, and we pride ourselves on our transference training. So things like leg drive coming into contact. So, and our wrestling elements of the program and all that sort of stuff really work on that transition, so they can actually then take it into the skill session and obviously take it into a game. So they're the sort of things we work on. Like, for an example, we look at speed results over 10 metres for our forwards, but we convert those into a momentum score. So the communication of them is all about building up your momentum, so when you do come into contact, you're able to win the contact, having more momentum than your opposition. So.
And I guess a lot of people don't really think about making, you know, something that, that's done in a training environment, be that the gym or out on the track, to be able to translate that into functional performance for the sport. I mean, there's a lot of big, strong men who couldn't take, and I'm reasonably strong. I've been lifting weights for 35 years, but if I got one hit, that'd be me. I'd be done. It'd be all over for 3 months, you know? So I guess that turning the lifting of weights and the moving of sleds and so on into you know, relatable functional performance on the park.
Yeah, that's the challenge. You know, our game's made up, as I mentioned before, it's made up of clusters of work, and they're the fatiguing elements. We call them those worst case scenarios, and we condition for those, and we condition for those positions specifically. So, like, for example, our tight five that do most of the heavy work and most of the contact, you know, that's a key element of their conditioning program. And we work closely with the coaches to be able to take open type sort of drills that they do and close them up, so they're actually sort of practicing position specific elements that they will in the game, from things like clean out carries and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, that's the challenge, but that's also the, when you get that right, and we think we're doing okay so far, we're sort of proving that towards the end of games that it's satisfying.
Bryce Cavanagh, the Melbourne Rebels head of athletic performance, is our special guest on the evening program. Craig Harper in the house. Bryce, in AFL, we've seen the physical dimensions, the profiles of most positions change. Certainly the on-ballers are bigger and stronger, that is, not only taller but heavier and more muscular than previous generations. It's growing like Topsy now. 192, 193, not uncommon. Has rugby also seen a marked shift in the sort of young footballers you'd be looking for the code of rugby, given what would be needed on the field, say, in the Super 15s?
Yeah, it's definitely shifted over, like, my time. I've been, as I said, I started off in rugby 15 years ago at another Super 15 team, you know, coming out of uni, knowing nothing, and working as an assistant there, and even the body shapes in that space and time has changed. The size is definitely one thing, but I also think that the athleticism or the conditioning of the players has changed markedly. And, you know, my time in AFL, that's something that I drag back, where you learn what sort of capacity that those guys have in AFL is exceptional, and I think that us as in the rugby fraternity could learn. We have learned, and we can learn more from that. How much we can push these guys from a running aspect. So, and that's something we pride ourselves on. That's the way we play the game. We tend to we're not as big as some of the other teams, like the team from New South Wales. The Waratahs team are a very large team. Some of the South African teams are men mountains. And we pride ourselves on teams not being able to live with us, or, you know, out-condition them, or, you know, their fitness is something that we take into the game as a strength, similar to maybe the New Zealand teams. So it just depends on how you want to play the game. But, yeah, it definitely has evolved over the last 10, 15 years massively.
That win over the Chiefs of Waikato, the 2012-2013 champions, really considered by most to be the best team of the current era. 16-15, there's been a couple of heartbreaking losses, but after that win, is there a notion amongst the playing group that the only limitations to how far the side can go, maybe including this season, but certainly in the next three seasons, the only limitations are the ones we would place on ourselves? In other words, we can be the best?
Yeah, definitely. Like, we honestly believe that we're on a journey to being successful, but not only being successful, like a flash in the pan successful, we'll actually be consistently successful and consistently competitive. Like, there's a massive belief between the group in with the group, but that's on the back of the hard work that we've been doing. A lot of us came on board with the Rebels, and there was a lot of the young crew that we've got. That sort of, you know, it's been an 18-month journey so far with the head coach Tony McGann and a few of the other staff. So we're only in our infancy, and we're in this for the long road, and we're along that. You know, it's a bit cliche, but we are halfway, or we're through that journey over 18 months, and that's on the back of hard work and what's now being seen on the paddock. But we're still a long way off, a long way off being considered finals contenders. I think we've still got a lot of work in front of us to get through.
And one last one, Bryce, given your extensive cross-code knowledge of these athletes. We've seen, of course, Israel Folau, three codes, league, AFL, rugby. Carmichael Hunt, same. Jared Hayne, league to NFL. Which impresses you most as the athlete? And I won't include Anthony Mundine, league to boxing. I just want to stick maybe with the football codes, not that he's not impressive, but of those that have hopped codes, which one strikes you athletically as the one you'd most like to have in your team?
I've actually got some inside info because I've got a good mate that works with the San Francisco 49ers, and I was talking to him the other week about Jared Hayne and how he's going over there, and he seems to be picking up things rather quickly from his reports. So I must say, if Jared Hayne is successful in that code with such a structured code, there's a lot to learn and very specific roles, and you know, not having played that game at all in his life, I dare say that would impress me most. But he's probably a year or two off whether that comes to fruition or not.
You've echoed his sentiments that the playbook is the hardest thing for him, having to learn that. And it just made me think his high school teachers must have loved the bloke, because he's a magnetic personality, but I don't know how good he was at getting his homework in, because he said, I just can't, studying all that stuff.
Yeah, well, apparently he goes out to training with a cheat sheet every day, I'm told.
Yeah, there you go. I want to thank you, Bryce, for joining us tonight. It's a journey that Melbourne Rebels will only take if they're in the best of Nick, and you're the bloke that puts teams in the best of Nick. So it's a great partnership. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks, guys. Much appreciated.